blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Here on American Family Radio, I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by the Corner Contingent. Right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, the real J Mac. We are, frankly, all still reeling from Charlie Kirk's assassination. It is, there are a number of profound, some might call them ironies. I wouldn't necessarily call them ironies. That here we are, 24 years after September, on the anniversary, or should I just say 24 years after the attack, frankly, on the American way of life, launched by Islamic jihadists that killed more than 3,000 Americans 24 years ago. And as I am broadcasting now, yesterday with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, who, according to all reports and indications, was assassinated because he dared exercise his God-given, constitutionally protected right to freely exercise what he believes. Because he had the audacity to have a belief system, and not only have it, but to articulate it in the public square in a reasonable and persuasive manner, those who could not abide his public witness decided that they wanted to shut him up. And make no mistake about it, it is the ballistic equivalent to those who may be in a reasonable conversation yet unable to contend with their opponent's reason, wisdom, and logic. They would begin to talk louder or begin to shout. And as I've said before, just because you talk louder doesn't mean you're right. And often the loudness of that expression is actually an admission that they know they're losing. But the increased volume is an effort to intimidate the speaker, as well as all who may be in the audience, to say, we will not abide your capacity to persuade. And what we all became aware of from yesterday was a repeat of that phenomenon in a heightened and temporally final mechanism to say to Charlie Kirk, but also any others who would be willing to do what Charlie Kirk did, to say, you all need to shut up. That is why there's a concerted effort to describe reasonable disagreement as hate speech, which is why that type of rhetoric has been used to justify political violence, Because if there is a Hitler on the loose, well, surely we don't want a repeat of Hitler. So what is the appropriate response to a Hitler or a Nazi? And you saw some people online in one of the most grotesque displays I've seen to say, well, who would shed tears for Hitler? My question is, how will we respond? Unsurprisingly, the Word of God gives us great encouragement. To the Word of God we go. Acts chapter 14. I'm going to read the first, six verses, Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Then I'm going to drop down to verses 19 and 20. And this portion of scripture details the Apostle Paul's missionary engagement in Iconium, in Lystra, and Derbe. All right. And this is what the Word of God says. Now at Iconium, they entered into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds. Listen carefully to the Word of God here. And poisoned their minds against the brethren. So they remained there for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the unbelieving Jews, and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and unbelieving Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. And there they continue to preach the gospel. Now look at verse 19. But unbelieving Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. I'm going to pause there. I want to make sure you see these things. First, this portion of scripture begins in Iconium, all right? In Iconium, the Apostle Paul and his ministerial team entered the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Gentiles came to faith in Christ. A great number of people were persuaded by the Apostle Paul's public presentation and public witness. But there also were in the crowds there, as verse 2 says, some Jews who are unbelieving. So hear me clearly. There were some Jews who were persuaded. And remember, the Apostle Paul himself was a Jew, Jewish rabbi, a Pharisee. And he was successful in his appeal. His public witness, his bold presentation was effective in persuading some. This is what the scripture says. And so, though the Apostle Paul and his team were able to persuade some, verse 3 says, they stayed in Iconium for a long time, speaking boldly. But can you imagine how the Apostle Paul's bold, consistent public witness agitated the unbelieving in the audience? Can you imagine? You don't have to just imagine, and I'm going to explain how much it agitated them. It agitated them as they continued in Iconium day after day, publicly proclaiming with boldness the truth of Yeshua HaMashiach. Look at verse 4. But the people of the city were divided. Stop me if you've heard some of that before. There were some in the city who agreed with Paul, championed his message, who would show up in increasing crowd sizes day after day. But there were still some who disagreed with them. So what happened? An attempted assassination occurred. Look at verse 5. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews, this is referring to unbelieving Jews, with their rulers, To mistreat them? Oh, it's just a little mistreatment. That's on one part about, oh, well, that's not the end of it. Mistreat them and what? And to stone them. They tried to kill Paul at Iconium. They tried to kill his team at Iconium. But what does verse 6 tell us? But they learned of the efforts to stone Paul and his team, and they fled to Lystra and Derbe, to the cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country, but they continued to preach the gospel. Look at verse 19. Verse 19 transpires in the city of Lystra. Now, remember earlier I said that some of the unbelievers in Iconium, they were so agitated. Their agitation was palpable. And though Paul labored in Iconium for a long time, as the scripture says, they moved on to Lystra. Guys, Lystra is over 100 miles away from Antioch and Iconium. And what does verse 19 tell us? But some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. Guys, they took their agitated, hate-filled show on the road. And back then, remember, there were no trains, planes, and automobiles. They on this joint by foot, hoofing it. Or, at best, using some manner of beast of burden. But over 100 miles to follow Paul to Lystra. And then what do they do in Lystra? They agitate the crowds. They persuade the crowds so that the crowds agree to do in Lystra what these murderous intended agitators could not accomplish in Iconium. They stone Paul at Lystra. And the scripture explains it, that they stone Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead. So they stone Paul inside of the city. Paul had a ministerial team. Can you imagine what could have happened with the ministerial team when Paul is being stoned? They perceived Paul as being dead and sought to drag his lifeless body outside of the city. Now, the question I want to ask you is, why do you think they stoned Paul? You think they had a personal animus? Oh, Paul, I don't like your sandals. Paul, you got the Nike swoosh on the wrong side of your flip-flop. Or is it more likely that they sought to stone Paul because of what he said and how effective it was at persuading not everybody, but persuading a consistent portion of the audience that he was appealing to? Can you imagine what might have washed over those who were traveling with Paul, who were there in Lystra, who came with him from Iconium all the way to Lystra? Man, should we continue this? I shared yesterday, this is why the Apostle Paul wrote in his epistle, second epistle to Timothy, that wait, Paul, I'm in chains, and yes, I'm aware that this is the end of my life, but you, God has not given you a spirit of fear. But a power and love and a sound mind. But what happens? Look at verse 20. I'll read 19 again. But the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and went right back into the same city he just came from. Brothers and sisters, I would submit to you that this is the will of God for his bride in our nation. That with the evil intent of this murderous assassin and all of these wicked sycophants who are celebrating a husband and a father's assassination, that we, by the strength of God, by the grace of God, refuse to be cowed by the demonic spirit of the age, and we find it within ourselves to get up and go right back into the city. That we continue doing what God has called us to do. And in fact, those of us who might have been on the sidelines, who need to find your place in the Get Off the Couch ministry, today is the day. Let's get about it. Because similar to 9/11, when they sought to destroy the American way of life and our nation said, no, sir, you will not have that, we must do the same in this day, that we will not stop speaking truth.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
What are some of the battles that our children are dealing with? Why is it so important that we're equipping them to be warrior-minded in their world and in their circumstances as well? Some might say, well, children are young, let them grow up. Well, the fact is, sadly, some children never get to grow up because the world is such a dangerous, tragic place in so many ways. What are some of the battlefields our children and youth deal with? Bullying and dealing with bullying, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and the list could go on and on. Parents, a very wise strategy, a kingdom strategy and a spiritual warfare strategy, is figure out a way to motivate your child and have them to begin to read the Word of God to you every day out loud, as something we've mentioned before. Having your child read daily is a great way to begin to instill the eternal Word of God in the minds and hearts of our children. That's a very important battle strategy for every parent.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. I want to clear up some things that I said yesterday while I was on the air, and this is being reported in real time. Whenever you have an investigation happening in real time, often you have early reports that end up being you know, changed somewhat. And so while I was on the air, I mentioned, well, first, you know, there was a person of interest detained immediately, an older gentleman who was released after FBI investigation. While I was on the air yesterday, I mentioned that the FBI was reporting that they had detained another suspect, which they had at that time. But upon their further review, they concluded that he was not the shooter in this incident, and so they released him. Well, as you might expect, with the rapid pace of information being acquired and the continued investigation by the FBI, there are more details that have been unearthed currently. But I'll start by saying the law enforcement officials have not yet apprehended who they believe to be the suspect. However, there's information that is aiding them in the process of arresting Charlie Kirk's assassin. Now, I'm going to take this portion of the program to just give factual information to update you on the process and the progress of the investigation. Well, early this morning, Steven Crowder posted publicly a report that he had received that was leaked to him, according to him, by an officer at ATF. And Steven Crowder is one that has shown historically that when he receives tips and leaks from law enforcement, they tend to be accurate. He's the one who first received the manifesto from the murderer of the children in Tennessee at Covenant Presbyterian School, just to give you an example of that. So I'm going to read this report. It's not a long report, but this is what Steven Crowder shared this morning, and then I'm going to explain why I'm sharing this with you. Well, Steven Crowder shared that this is the email he received from an officer at the ATF. And this is what the email reads. Quote, on September 10th, 2025, at approximately 12:24 p.m., conservative political influencer Charlie Kirk was shot and killed at the Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. Mr. Kirk was speaking at the university as part of the American Comeback Tour. Multiple SLC 1 and 3 agents responded immediately. The suspect fired one shot from an elevated position on a rooftop in an adjacent building on the campus, and surveillance video shows the suspect jumping off and fleeing the area on foot. ATF and other law enforcement located an older model imported Mauser 30-06 caliber bolt-action rifle wrapped in a towel in a wooded area near the campus. The location of the firearm appears to match the suspect's route of travel. The spent cartridge was still chambered in addition to 3 unspent rounds at the top fed magazine. All cartridges have engraved wording on them. Listen closely, guys. Back to the email. All cartridges have engraved wording on them expressing transgender and anti-fascist ideology. An emergency trace has been submitted. An ATF SLC is working leads generated by the trace. The firearm and ammunition have been taken by the FBI for DNA analysis and fingerprint impressions. Upon completion of forensics, the firearm will be disassembled for additional importer information. Multiple people of interest have been contacted or detained because of eyewitness testimony and review of video footage. The primary suspect is yet to be identified. ATF is assisting the investigation with multiple other federal, state, and local partners, and the case is co-led by the FBI and the Utah State Bureau of Investigation, end quote. Now, I'm sharing this with you because not long after, and this report is current as I'm speaking to you, this has not been contradicted or repudiated, the FBI, Robert Bull, special agent in charge for the FBI, has come out publicly, and he confirmed the majority of the facts that were included in Steven Crowder's email post, or Steven Crowder's post. Now, I want to turn your attention now to Special Agent in Charge, FBI Special Agent in Charge, Robert Bowles, publicly corroborating many of the facts that Steven Crowder reported first. Listen to and watch clip number four. Clip number four. Go.
That was used in yesterday's shooting. It is a high-powered bolt-action rifle. That rifle was recovered in a wooded area where the shooter had fled. So the FBI laboratory will be analyzing this weapon. Investigators have also collected footwear impression, a palm print.
Now, I want you to note, first, FBI Special Agent in Charge Robert Bowles added information that was not included in Steven Crowder's post that said that the FBI has recovered footprint impression, most likely in the wooded area where this rifle was recovered, and a palm print. A palm print is important for its identifying capacity, and they very well may. I don't know this for certain. Depends on the condition of the palm print. They may be able to obtain DNA evidence from the palm print, perhaps from the rifle as well, depending on what the condition. I don't know, you know, gloves, no gloves, things of that nature. But I also want you to notice that Special Agent Robert Bowles confirmed several of the facts that Steven Crowder pointed out. One, that they have recovered the weapon they believe to be the weapon that was used to assassinate Charlie Kirk. That in of itself is huge. Anybody who's worked in law enforcement will let you know that having the weapon is vitally important to process ballistic evidence. Some people are familiar with firearms, depending on, you know, whether or not any spent shell casings are recovered or ballistic projectiles that may be recovered from the scene, that projectiles often have what's called rifling on the projectile itself that comports with the uniqueness of the barrel of the firearm that the projectile is ejected through. It's almost like DNA for a gun. All right. It's a crude analogy. But very often, I've prosecuted numerous cases that if you can recover, you know, ejected projectiles or the shell casings, and you can recover the firearm, you have forensic analysts who can assess the projectile connected to the gun. That's vitally important. The next point, the FBI confirms that the rifle was a bolt-action rifle. Steven Crowder identified it as a Mauser 30-06. Caliber bolt-action rifle. The FBI confirmed that they recovered a bolt-action rifle. Again, I am not a firearms expert, but I have, I'll just say it this way. We at the American Family Association and American Family Radio believe fervently in the Second Amendment. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and I approve this message. Okay. Those who are familiar with firearms would tell you that a bolt-action rifle with a 30-06 caliber has the capacity to execute a shot from the reported 200-yard distance. You'll find some who will say 300 to 700 yards. A 200-yard shot with that weapon is for a person that may have moderate competency. Would that be fair, Bobby? Moderate competency with that weapon
and a good scope.
And that distance, with a good scope, there could be some facts that are adding up there. Then notice The report from Crowder indicated that the weapon is being processed for forensic analysis, which is what Robert Bowles said and confirmed that fact as well. But did you notice what was missing from the FBI special agent's confirmation? You notice what the FBI special agent didn't say anything about? What was engraved on the cartridges? Did you notice that? Now, as I paid attention to the reporting throughout the day, continued research, I've heard some additional law enforcement officials begin to even say, well, yes, there were engravings on some of the cartridges, but they did not go into what was engraved on the cartridges. But the Crowder report would seem to be corroborated at a minimum, multiple salient facts from the Crowder post were corroborated by the FBI. Subsequent reports corroborate that there were engravings, and I want to read it again the way the Crowder's report includes it. All cartridges have engraved wording on them expressing transgender and anti-fascist ideology. Reports now are indicating there are cartridges with engraving on them, but there is not broad reporting as to what has been engraved on the cartridges. Anybody want to take a guess why? Does anybody remember how long that the manifesto from the murderer in Covenant in Nashville, Tennessee was kept from public? Okay, I'll go further. Yesterday, I reported that when Charlie Kirk was speaking, he entertained one questioner who he had a dialogue with concerning religion. They were debating. The gentleman in the audience wanted to debate Charlie Kirk about Mormonism. They end up concluding that conversation. The very next person, the second person who was given the opportunity to speak, I reported yesterday, was asking Charlie Kirk about transgenderism. I want to report now more specifics of the questions that were being asked concerning transgenderism. When the second questioner asked Charlie Kirk a question, he asked Charlie Kirk whether or not he knew how many public shooters were identifying themselves as transgender. To which Charlie Kirk responded, too many. The questioner continued asking another question about the number of transgender shooters. And as Charlie was about to and beginning to answer that question, that is when he was shot. Is that a coincidence? I don't know. We don't know yet. Steven Crowder is reporting the email he received from an ATF agent that cartridges that were recovered by law enforcement with the rifle in the woods had engravings on them expressing transgender ideology. I never want to get ahead of the evidence, but I will tell you now that I will not be surprised. I will not be surprised if that is in fact confirmed. Engravings on the cartridges that were recovered in the woods with the rifle. Hey, why are you focusing on this? I'm focusing on this, guys, because we can play around if we want, but there is a palpable evil that is percolating throughout our nation right now, and we can act like we don't know the root cause of it. But it is directly connected to a collective fist being shaken in the face of Almighty God. We can play if we want, but this is the reality. And when you boil down the phenomenon, and consider the scripture I shared with you a few moments ago, there were people who sought to oppose the Apostle Paul. They did not like the effectiveness that he had in persuading the crowds. A very similar phenomenon occurred when Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead, that the religious leaders, they wanted to destroy Jesus's influence. So yes, they set a plot to kill him, but what else did they set a plot to do? We got to kill Lazarus too. We got to kill the evidence of this rabbi's instruction, because he's becoming too popular. He's becoming too effective. He is appealing to too many. He is persuading too many. We cannot contend with his public presentation. So our only option is to kill him and the evidence of what he represents. It said that history often repeats itself. It does, but it also rhymes. The jihadists, the murderous jihadis. And look, let's be real. Let's keep it an entire buck. Why do Islamic terrorists murder? Because these jokers, they want an Islamic caliphate, a global caliphate. What is ISIS? The Islamic State. In school, many of you learned Istanbul with Constantinople. Why did Istanbul become Constantinople? Because it was an effort to establish a caliphate. People want to talk about the Crusades. They don't want to talk about the context of the Crusades. They don't want to talk about that the Crusades were a response to an exercise in Islamic jihad. I'm not saying all the things that Crusaders did were right, but we must understand the context. And why do jihadists murder? Because they want the entire world to submit to Islam. And in this Islamic panoply, you have two options: convert and submit, or maybe a third. You can be a dhimmi, a second-class citizen, D-H-I-M-M-I. But you're basically cannon fodder and property. So you either submit or you are annihilated, which is why they attacked our trade towers. It's not the exact same ideology, but it's the same commitment to utilize violence when they're unable to persuade reasonably. And I want to be clear, what I'm saying about the transgender engravings on the cartridges, it is the murderer, the assassin, is engraving his ideology into the cartridges. In addition to that, Jeff, would you display the picture on the screen? The FBI has also announced that they have a potential suspect as a result of, and we'll come back with this, but you can go ahead and put it on the screen now. We'll come back with them from the break. They have a picture of who they believe the suspect is. They're circulating this. The FBI is circulating this nationwide. And they're asking for the public's help in identifying this person of interest. For those who are listening to the show only, it appears to be a college-aged male with a hat, a black long-sleeve T-shirt, with seeming jeans on and sunglasses, appearing to have a backpack on his back. The FBI is offering $100,000 for reward, $100,000 reward that leads to the arrest of this suspect. If you have any information, you go to tips.fbi.gov. That is tips.fbi.gov. There is a manhunt underway to find and arrest this shooter.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
The test of a person's character is what they would do if they were absolutely certain nobody would find out. What you are is what you would do if you're absolutely certain nobody would ever know.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, God Meant It for Good, The Story of Joseph, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Jeff, would you please put back up on the screen the picture of what the FBI believes is a suspect in this case? As I shared earlier, that this picture was obtained as a result of surveillance footage, including video of the alleged suspect jumping off the roof and fleeing the area on foot. Or should I say, jumping off and fleeing the area on foot. The FBI is asking for tips to help identify this person of interest, is how they're describing him. I said, and this, there's also yesterday a shooting at a high school in Evergreen, Colorado. A 16-year-old assailant, after shooting two students, turned the gun on himself. According to the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, this teenager was radicalized online. Guys, this is what's happening in our country. There's only one way forward, man. One of the objectives of terrorists, those who murder in order to assert their sociopolitical ideology and to advance it, is to shut the mouth of the speaker as well as anybody else who would be inclined to speak. But as we discussed in Acts 14, we have an example in Scripture that when murderous terrorists sought to crush the gospel proclaimed through the Apostle Paul by stoning him, and they thought he was dead, that as the disciples gathered around him, he popped right up and went right back into the city where he come from. My prayer is that this would be a moment to where the body of Christ awakens and we commit ourselves to proclaiming the truth, having embraced a life disposition from heaven down. Having an eternal perspective on our engagement. And allowing that to guide our engagement. Will this be a moment that causes us to back up, to dumb down? And I want to be abundantly clear in what I'm talking about. I am talking about advocating for the life, the eternal life-giving virtue of the gospel, which has a direct impact on our societal engagement. There must be a rediscovery of a Holy Spirit-inspired boldness within the body of Christ and a Holy Spirit-inspired compassion for our citizens, our fellow citizens, that we love them enough to even be willing to be inconvenienced, where we commit ourselves to following the King of Glory, come what may. Come what may. I played the clip of you, played the clip for you yesterday of Matthew Dowd, who worked at MSDNC, where he basically blamed Charlie Kirk for his own assassination. I have the clip. I'm not going to play it again. I played it yesterday. Unless y'all think I need to play it. MSNBC fired him today. They fired him. I'm laughing because Bobby and Jeff are giving me mixed messages. They fired him today. First, they apologized for... First, MSNBC apologized for Matthew Dowd's comments. That was appropriate. Then they fired Matthew Dowd. That was appropriate. But can I tell you something? Well, let me see. Let me ask you something. Do you believe they fired Matthew Dowd because of what he said? Or did they fire Matthew Dowd because of where he said it? If Matthew Dowd would have said the exact same thing he said on the air but just kept that in the break room, you think they would have fired him? Now, I understand the responsibility. There's things off the air than things you say on the air. I understand that. But the point I'm getting at is they fired him because of the public blowback. You know, they, when people apologize, sometimes people apologize and it's because they are rightly contrite for the error that they've caused, right? Sometimes people apologize because they're simply sorry that they got caught. They're simply sorry because they got caught. They're not sorry about what they did. They're not sorry for what they said. They are sorry that they got caught. They may be sorry for the consequences that flow from having gotten caught, but they are not sorry. I'm not going to intend to delve into the mind of Matthew Dowd, but this is not the first thing this dude has said off the cuff. That's the network trying to cover themselves based on the public blowback from what it said. But that network has spewed similar things over and over and over and over. Now, this is where some of you are going to be really rubbed the wrong way. Do you know that Matthew Dowd worked in the George W. Bush White House? Worked in the George W. Bush White House. Why am I saying that? Because for the longest time, there are many people who have objected to, you know, the functioning of the uniparty, which is why it requires a principled, righteousness-anchored populace to demand what we require. If Charlie Kirk had no following, and believed what he believed and even said what he said, but was not effective in persuading people to embrace his ideas, do you think he would have been murdered, assassinated? I'll answer my own question. No. The reason why the assassin trained his sights on Charlie Kirk is because Charlie Kirk was effective. It's no different. It's no different than what I read to you today from Acts 14. And this is what I mean, it's no different. There was no way that the hate-filled adjutant, and I mean hate literally, not like people that are saying, disagreeing with somebody, oh, that's hate. No, it's not. No, it's not. But the hate-filled adjutants in Acts 14, they sought to destroy the Apostle Paul and everything he represented. Just like in Acts chapter 4, when you had the members of the Sanhedrin after having executed Jesus. Don't forget that. Having executed Jesus, and then Peter and John were persuading the populace. And they was like, oh, no, 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 we cannot afford to allow this to spread. So what do? They gathered them, threatened them first, then ultimately beat them and commanded them to speak no more in this name. History repeats itself, and it often rhymes. But here's a strange thing. As persecution amplified, what Jesus declared became evident. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. As persecution amplified, the gospel continued to spread. Hence the expression that the blood of the martyrs became the fuel for the church. The more they sought to shut the Christ followers up, the more the gospel spread. My prayer is that the sober reality of where we are as a nation, where our nation has, I would argue, as a product of a generational neglect in disciple making, to where you have an insidiously evil ideology that is percolating in our own countries, within our own shores, that the love of Jesus Christ and the zealous, passionate commitment to him would well up in his bride, where we would take his commission seriously, and we would seek to saturate our areas of the nation that God has afforded us to live in with the love of Jesus Christ and the proclamation of the truth. It's the same. It's very similar. It's just Kerry pointed out in the chat. They tried to tap President Trump's wires, the full Russian collusion delusion, the false impeachment, the false, you know, lawfare, the 91 indictments, all of the, and when none of that stopped, then they literally tried to kill him. Again, history repeats itself, but it often rhymes. It is the penchant of a totalitarian ideology that says, I cannot contend with my opposition, so I must dispense of my opposition. It's why you have the precursors for what many want to do here in our country, where in the UK you have a comedian who's arrested because he tweeted the wrong thing. And you got people roving around, raping women all over England, yet you got armed officers that show up at the airport to arrest a comedian because he tweeted the wrong things. Somebody square that circle for me. I can't help thinking. This morning, Charlie Kirk's wife woke up with no husband. The two children woke up, and their father is gone. The assassin more than likely didn't even know Charlie Kirk personally. All they knew is what they heard of him publicly, and he wanted to kill what he represented. There's numerous videos, and you can find them around. Charlie Kirk was interviewed one time. He was asked, if this were to end today, even if he were to die, what would he want to be known for? And you know what his response was? With all of the political participation he's been involved in, him participating in helping President Trump get reelected, within the last 2 years, there's been a 44-point reversal in young men voting in favor of Republican candidates, an 18-point reversal in young women. I'm talking ages 18 to 29. Charlie Kirk's answer was that the thing that I want to be remembered for, if all of this were to end today, is I want to be remembered for being courageous for my faith. That's what he said. That's what he said. Dude is 31 years old. With all the stuff he'd accomplished in his young life, he said, I want to be remembered for being courageous for my faith. Guys, I can't explain the number of emotions I'm feeling right now. But one thing that I know, the only things that will endure is what we do for eternity. All of this temporal stuff is going to pass away. It is. Only what we do for eternity is going to last. How are we going to use the time that God affords us? Are we going to use it for acquisition of material things to consume upon ourselves? Are we going to use it to enjoy various, creature comforts? Or are we willing to spend ourselves for the purpose of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? We can't take any of our material possessions with us into eternity. But you know what will follow us into eternity? Those whom the Lord has ministered to through us, for them to be made members of our eternal family. Those who we've been able to invest ourselves in obeying our Lord's commission to make disciples, that will follow us into eternity. I said it yesterday. By God's grace, my prayer is what the enemy intended for evil, what the enemy intended for evil, that God will turn it for good, that this will be, no pun intended, but a turning point for our nation.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.